The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Back with you. We're here for the weekend edition. Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery here in downtown Minneapolis on the campus. Well, kind of sort of downtown. On the campus of Goldie Gopher, Chris Schmidt and our favorite Husker and NFLer Jeremiah Searles. We are back. We have flex time, the weekend edition. We are here the next 2 hours for you, getting you ready for Nebraska-Minnesota tonight. We're two blocks from the Gophers Stadium at TCF Bank Park. We can actually, Searles can throw a football there. We're that close.
I can throw a football out of them, their mountains.
I know. They're there. Searles, good to see you again, man. A good time yesterday here at the Graduate in the heart of the Gopher campus. We're loaded up for your pregame show. Don't forget, as soon as Nebraska-Minnesota wraps up, we're here live taking your calls, thoughts, emails, texts, tweets, and can do so with Real Red Reaction. We'll see if Nebraska can make this thing a fun road trip. There's a lot of red here. We went and kind of partied at a Nebraska tailgate just a few feet away from us here in the Graduate. We had an incredible burger last night.
Oh, man, Red Cow Burgers, downtown Minneapolis, top five burger. If you're in Minneapolis, you got to check it out.
It was good. It was outstanding. So Brandon Vogel's going to check in with us from Goldie Gopherland, from the stadium in about 30 minutes, a little less than 30 minutes. We'll run down the Iron Horse, Gary Sharp. Sharpie will be with us in the 4 o'clock hour. Noah Vedral, our sit-down, our one-on-one with the Husker quarterback, dare I say starting quarterback. I know I went Adrian last night, and I am now backpedaling like a chump on that. It is going to be a Noah night for Nebraska. That's most likely what we're feeling right now. But I feel free to change my mind. Again,
I told you it was going to be Noah.
I know.
I told you.
Noah will get the start tonight. There we have it. And we'll also get caught up with Mitch Sherman of The Athletic. Mitch might be on site with us. And we'll check in as Wisconsin is now up on Michigan State 7-0. A good opening stand, a 3-and-out for the Sparty defense. Wisconsin got the ball back because guess what? Michigan State's offense did nothing. Is it going to be one of those Saturdays with upsets, right? You ask yourself, because South Carolina just got to 500 at 3-3. South Carolina just beat Georgia, should have been in regulation, but they just beat Georgia in overtime 20-17. A brutal three turnover game by Fromm, and that'll be the key tonight for Nebraska. Turnovers, offensive line play. How does the run game work? How does the stoppage of the run game happen? Are we good to go? Let's see if we can get caught up and kick things off. Jeremiah Searles, Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbel. Elijah, do we have Kranak?
One second, I'm still working on it. We're having some issues with the phones.
Oh, Kranak, dude. Leave it to him. But let's talk about this Husker tailgate over here, man. That was cool. We got to go in there. They're throwing tailgate, and they did this introduction where they went around the room and said where they're from, why they're here, how long they've known the guy throwing the tailgate. And it was just – it's so cool because Husker fans, man, there's people from Washington State. There's people from the East Coast, the Midwest, the South. And they're like, we just love Husker football. We go to the away games. We're all here together tailgating. They've been here the last 3 days. They did a big thing at Hopcat at the Minnesota Mall last night. And it just shows you how – even with this fan base – being in a struggling football program, they love this team. And that's why I've always said Nebraska fans are by far the best of all time. It's not even close. And hello there. How are we?
It's going to be fun tonight.
I said 8,000 to 10,000 fans in Minnesota Stadium last night. I'm thinking it might be more 10 to 15. Granted, we're in one spot here, but even when we were at breakfast out in Eden Prairie this morning, there was two or three tables full of Husker fans. So I think there might be 10,000 to 15,000 Husker fans here today, because I'm guessing some people are still on the road. If you're on the road, drive safe, but get here ready to party. And I'm excited. I think they're going to come in, be loud tonight, support this team. And I think that they're really going to support Vedral if he runs out there. I'm on team Vedral right now. I think that Adrian should just rest, get into the bye week, regroup for second half of the season here. But, man, it is a lot of red, a lot of passion, and I'm excited for tonight.
No, and listen, it's going to be a good experience. I know you'll be on the sideline tonight. I'll be up
freezing
in the box.
Freezing my tail off.
I went to the old it's not quite a quick shop, but the convenience options they have here. And I thought about getting you some hand warmers, but I declined because I figure you'll get taken care of by your peeps.
I would have rather taken some Fireball shooters, warm the inside.
Well, see,
that would have helped.
If they don't have nicotine products for under $17.50, they aren't going to have anything that's affordable for me. Fireball. You can drink in the stadium.
I know. That's what I mean.
TCF.
TCF is awesome for that regard. I remember when I played here with the Vikings, we played in the stadium for a year.
And you played in that 22 below zero.
Yeah, people would come and they'd get beers. And my brother came to a Sunday night game. We were playing the Giants. And he was like, you had 15 minutes to drink your beer. It was frozen. Like, not slushy, but frozen.
Frozen.
So this place can get cold.
The king of all road trips has been Mark Kranak. He has been to Blacksburg. He has been to Columbia. He has been to Seattle. He has been to A&M. We welcome in Mark Kranak with us at Mark Skurs on Twitter. Kranak, what's good? How's your Saturday?
Hey, man, it's pretty solid. It's balmy. We got like mid-50s up in here. How are you guys holding up?
We're doing all right. We're doing fine. We got a little YouTube TV going here watching Wisconsin and Michigan State. A lot of Nebraska fans, a lot of red. They're walking by the table shaking hands. It's pretty good here. There's a few red beers and Bloody Marys going already, which is nice.
Yes.
And Searles is fired up. You know, Searles is the mayor of Minnesota. you are.
I am not. I just like to have a good time.
We sit down and we go to this pancake joint today for kind of a brunch thing. And it's like he's Norm from Cheers. Searles, what's going on?
Well, see, when I lived here, I ate there every day. So
why not?
Delicious.
Kranak, I know you're probably throwing some world-famous, award-winning Kranak chili on the stove here in a little bit. You're back in Nebraska. What's your feel today here for how Nebraska gets this done, and do you feel confident?
So it's federal, right? Do we have confirmation of that yet?
We do not.
We don't have, like, a letter with, destroy after reading from Frost or anything, but we're pretty sure it's going to be Vedral.
Okay, so if that's the case, is it weird to think that the offense might actually perform? Now, I'm not saying Vedral is a better talent than Martinez or is necessarily a better long-term answer than Martinez. But is it crazy to think that the offense might operate a little bit better than we've seen so far this year from Adrian Martinez?
Here's my thought on that. I don't think the offense is going to operate, quote-unquote, better, but I think it will be smoother. I think that's what we're going to see. I think we're going to see more of a fluidity than what we've seen in these first six games. I mean, I remember sitting watching the game for the press box, and there'd be times where you're like, man, this is just choppy. You're like, there's no rhythm to this offense. There's no tempo. We're just kind of down the field, like mosing our way down. I think with Vedral at quarterback, I think it's going to be a smooth operation. Will we have the explosiveness that we had with Adrian? No, but I think the smoothness of it all will be there. What do you think?
Yeah, well, because think about it. There is literally no human being on earth besides Scott Frost and Mario Verduzco that know the offense more than Vedral. I mean, seriously, it's his fourth year. There's nobody else that knows what Frost and Verduzco wants more than that guy. He doesn't have a ton of experience, obviously, and that's a huge factor. Don't want to ignore that. But in that limited action that we saw from him last week, it looked pretty good. He was a pretty decisive runner. He was, he would cut and take five. If there was five to get, he would get five. You know, there was no indecision. The ball he threw to Wandale was beautiful. It's a perfect throw. I don't know. I have a feeling that if he gets extended time, I don't feel like he's going to be some sort of liability. I don't think it's going to be similar. And I'm not saying this to criticize him or anything, but I don't think it's going to be like Andrew Bunch in Michigan. right? I don't think it's going to be that sort of performance. I think you'll get a guy that completely understands the offense, that's a pretty decisive runner, that's good enough athletically, that can spin it a little bit. And frankly, it's been an offense that it needs a spark, man. I mean, it needs something, because I'm not convinced that Adrian Martinez has been 100% all year.
You've said stuff, Kranak, about, you know, is his hand. You talk about, does he put too much weight on, and I don't think that's the case. He's just not looked comfortable, and I think decisiveness is the key word you use. I think Nebraska will be a lot better. To your thoughts, too, Searles, from a decision-making standpoint, less choppiness. And I think, you know, where Nebraska can make some hay is what Adrian was so great at a year ago, and that's kind of the improv, you know, the run-pass scramble element of this offense, where you can roll the quarterback out, put him on the move, and I think he'll make quick throws, quick decisions, and I think that'll really help the offense. That's something to be excited for if you're a Nebraska fan, and I think there might be 10 to 15, maybe 20,000 Nebraska fans here. Defensively, I think Nebraska can hang in too, but you're going to need that offensive line, Searles, and Kranak, you jump in on this as well, to be good between the tackles. Yep. And that's my concern. It's still my concern, and I think it's a lot of Nebraska fans' concerns.
The other thing that we have to be concerned about is, yes, Adrian has struggled at times, but he stepped up in fourth quarters when we've needed him in games that we've won. So who's going to be, if that comes down to it, if we're in the fourth quarter and there's 7 minutes left and we're in a situation like we were against Illinois, who is it? Noah that steps up, or is it a guy like Maurice Washington? Is it a guy like maybe JD if he plays? Or hopefully we see a big game from a guy like Jack Stoll. I think that Noah might really like using Stoll. They used a lot of tight ends down at UCF, but you nailed it. The up front, those five guys have to play their best game to date and allow Noah to get in a rhythm early.
Yeah. Kranak, are you good with the O-line today?
They've been tough to and. By the way, I would not be the best evaluator of offensive line play. I'll just fully admit that.
Right not now. On the line right now, but I still want your thoughts.
But it's been tough to evaluate them, in my opinion. It sounds maybe trivial or almost cliche at this point, but because of the snaps, I think it's just thrown off everything. Right? I mean, I you know, like, if you're – I mean, Jeremiah, you could probably speak better to this, but if something's thrown off by a half second – When a typical play is, what, 3.5 seconds?
At max.
It matters. You know, like, I just think timing has been off for so many things this year, and I think your word for it was perfect, Searles. It's just been choppy. It's been so, like, play to play, kind of station to station, like each play is its own adventure type thing. You know, there just hasn't been that rhythm where they just get rolling outside of Illinois. And honestly, outside of that last drive against Northwestern last week, operated by Vedral. You know, like, that looked good. You talk about fourth quarter and, you know, who's going to step up. Think about the situation that Noah got put in. Right? You're going against Northwestern, who basically doesn't give up yards to anybody for any reason ever, period. And they always play Nebraska really well. He's straight cold off the bench. He's gotten hardly any playing time in 4 years. You know, he only threw something like 30 passes at UCF, right? So it's not like this guy is a seasoned veteran. He comes straight in off the bench cold against a really stout defense and just marches him down the field, and then a ridiculous field goal, and Nebraska escapes with a win. That doesn't happen without veterans, right? Like, who else would have been able to pull that off?
That's kind of it speaks to his preparation and knowledge and comfort level, and that can be a difference for Nebraska tonight. Kranak, as we wrap up, Mark Kranak's back in Nebraska. Chris Schmidt, Jeremiah Searles, weekend edition of Hail Varsity Radio. We are here, a lot of Nebraska fans here at the Graduate in the heart of campus here, two blocks from TCF Stadium, as Nebraska getting ready to go against the Gophers 6:30 tonight. We'll have Real Red Reaction following Nebraska-Minnesota weekend edition. Kranak, why does Nebraska get it done tonight? Why do they not get it done tonight? And give me a prediction here, other than your chili will be spectacular.
Yeah, to make it not the all Noah Vedral segment, I'm going to go a little bit of a different route. I think Nebraska wins today if they get. I think Nebraska wins today if they get the Maurice Washington that we saw in Colorado, and that we've seen a couple of times. He's got to be right mentally. He's got to be right physically. See how he responds. But if he is a factor, and that guy is able to get those sort of off script huge plays, I think Nebraska's got a really good chance. Nebraska doesn't win if they allow Minnesota to, because Minnesota's committed to the run. They're not good at it, you know, but if the weather becomes a factor, they do it. I mean, there's something like 63-65% of their plays are on the ground. And again, they don't move it too often. But if the weather is pretty crappy and they're able to get untracked, and Nebraska, I think we mentioned it last week, Nebraska's really thin at linebacker. So whenever you're going, especially inside. And so if you're facing a team that is going to be hammering you and you're asking your middle linebackers to make 12 to 14 tackles a game, can they hold up? So I that worries me. If they are able to keep it on the ground and keep the chains moving, can Nebraska's inside guys hold up? I don't think they win if Minnesota is able to do that.
Mark Kranak with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Kranak, give me a score.
Ooh. Does Maurice Washington factor?
Yes.
Can I have two scores?
Yeah, you had two scenarios. Give us two scores.
All right. One is Maurice plays with his hair on fire. And if that happens, I'll go with Nebraska 24, Minnesota 16. And if it's no Maurice Washington, I'll go with probably Minnesota 20, Nebraska 13.
Mark Kranak at Mark Skurs. Give Kranak a follow. Kranak, have a good weekend with your family, brother. Thanks for jumping on.
Yeah, man, you guys have a blast.
All right, there he is. Mark Kranak with us. Brandon Vogel going to join us here in about 10 minutes or so, live from TCF Bank Stadium. Sitting next to Husker standout and the mayor of Minnesota, Jeremiah Searles, former Viking, NFL veteran, Buffalo Bill, and of course, longtime Husker. You were up here a couple of years ago with the old stocking hat in the red sweat outfit.
Oh, yeah.
And you were on the sideline when Nebraska just dismantled Minnesota. This is back in 15?
Yes.
In 15. 2017, this thing was pinata time against Fleck and company. Nebraska getting their first win. Scott Frost's first win against Minnesota, putting up almost 60 points against the Gophers last year.
Which they remember.
They remember that, but also Nebraska remembers that they put up 60 points, almost 60 points. We see Minnesota fans right now. I mean, this is pretty good. They've got a little electrolytes going. They've got some PBR.
Oh, PBRs are the best.
That's a 24-pack.
Maybe spare one
solid
of those,
love
one.
Right there. You know, that'd be nice. That'd be a nice welcome to Minnesota, handing out beers.
Yeah, I don't know. Minnesota fans aren't thrilled with me. As we talked about yesterday, I've been trashing PJ Fleck for the last 6 days. So they're not entirely thrilled with old Jeremiah Searles at the moment. But they'll get over it.
Especially
when I post the burn the boats picture after the game.
We love Searles. And your confidence in Nebraska. You know, the Maurice Washington factor is very real. Mm. I don't know if – here's kind of what I think, and I may be way off when we get to Real Red Reaction tonight around 10 o'clock. I don't know that you're going to get a Colorado-Illinois Maurice Washington tonight.
Why do you say that?
He may have practiced well. I just don't think he can get through four quarters of physical ball.
I worry about that, too. I worry about his ability.
There's Mitch Sherman.
Oh, hey, Sherman.
This is awesome.
What's up, guy? Well, so, my thing is I'm worried about his physicality also, but also how reliant we are on him for a run game. I mean, you can feel the difference in our run game, especially with Adrian out. Guess what? They're going to key on him when he's in.
Mm-hmm.
When Maurice is in, we need to find ways to get him the ball. And we need to be able to find ways to get him out in space using decoys. We need to see Ramir Johnson. We need to be able to see what Dedrick Mills can do. And we have to find ways to get him, I think, little swing screens, little screen game, and really find ways to let him get in space 5-6 yards on the ground before initial contact, because he's not going to break the tackle. He's not going to make the first guy miss. He might make a miss, but he's not going to run through guys for four quarters.
He won't. And I thought Mo played super tough, took some shots, and was great in the first half of the Illinois game. That got Nebraska back into it.
Yeah, I mean, his big runs, and he's had all our big runs of the year. I mean, I don't think anyone else. I mean, Mills had that one against Ohio State.
Wandale had a big one.
But
for the most part, you're right. It's been Maurice Washington, and I just – he's good on the edge. He's not great between the tackles. Mm-hmm. He tried to run tough against the Illini, got dinged. He got smoked against Ohio State, where he, I think, aggravated something.
Then you had an
attitude issue, we're going to say. Clearly something was up when you get suspended for the first half last week. And then you touch the ball four times. They come back after a suspension and feature you. And then your activity is you walk off the sideline where everybody else is partying. You just hit a game winner and you're going to the – you're stomping to the locker room.
I mean, there's two tales to that. There's one of the he's pissed because he didn't help his team win.
Yes.
And he's upset because he couldn't do more. So I'm gonna side with that piece. I'm gonna side with the Maurice Washington was mad at himself, and that's why he did that. He was able to walk into that field. He was walking off the field like upset with himself, not pouting, but upset with himself. And I'm all right with that. I'm very much all right with him being mad at himself. I'm not all right with the second tale to this, which is. He's pouting, and he's going to say, oh, poor me.
I
only got the ball five times. I was suspended in the first half. This is BS, yada, yada, yada. That's not all right. I'm going to play and say, you know what? He's mad at himself. He had a good week of practice. He's going to run angry with mm-hmm. the ball. I want to see him. And I'm hoping that's the Mo we see. And we all agree, I mean, Kranak, you and myself, all agree that he will be a difference maker in this game tonight.
Well, he's got to be. If Nebraska wins, it's got to be that way. Maryland got rocked by Purdue 40.
What happened to them?
40-14. I don't know, man. And they still may be a pain in the backside between Wisconsin and Iowa. You have Maryland's offense that can look phenomenal at times. Wisconsin's up 14-0 right now over Sparty. We'll take a timeout. Brandon Vogel's going to join us. Then we'll get in touch. Mitch Sherman will be on site from The Athletic. Gary Sharp coming up. And Noah Vedral will join us as we get rolling here at the Graduate Hail Varsity Roadshow this weekend. We're here in the Graduate right in the heart of the Gophers, two blocks from the stadium. Pre-game right now, Real Red Reaction coming up. Hail Varsity Weekend continues presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Now back with Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery with Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranak.
Back with you, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Nebraska fans in from Chicago getting ready. It is Jeremiah Searle's world. And we're just living in it. Mitch Sherman is coming up on site in a little bit. We'll get caught up with Gary Sharp, the Iron Horse, will be with us.
Old Gary.
We have seen folks that check us out, bless their soul, on Hail Varsity and the podcast, HailVarsity.com or iTunes, where you listen to it. Penn State fans are back here.
Oh, man.
They survived.
These dudes are alive.
The Penn State fans started crushing at 2 o'clock in the afternoon yesterday. There's pictures. A guy that paces himself like no other when it comes to incredible work. And there's the Bloody Mary bar. That's great.
Okay, thank you so much.
We welcome in, and he's at the Gopher Stadium right now. Brandon Vogel, hot reads every morning for you. Great insight. Vogues, do you have a hand warmer?
I brought some gloves. So that'll have to do. I should get a hand warmer, though. You know, I was never good enough to be a quarterback, but at least I could look like one in that regard.
Sleeves. Sleeves or no sleeves, Vogues? That's the question for today. No sleeves.
No. Yeah, I'm team no sleeves.
Yeah.
So how much Vaseline, though, Searles?
No Vaseline. You go in there, you beat the guy in front of you more than you get beat, so you get sweat more.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So we're into the sweat amount, Vogues, and that was one of the tells this week with, you know, the Adrian, the Adrian week. How much is Adrian sweating? How much is he working? What's the word on him and Spielman? I have flip-flopped like a chump where I'm like, well, Adrian's going to gut it out. It's John Wayne time, right? Every time when you're on your way to Minneapolis, you drive by DeSoto, Iowa, and that's the home of – the Duke, John Wayne. And then I'm like, you know, damn it, this, what am I doing? It's going to be Noah tonight, and it'll be a big game needed for Maurice Washington. We've all kind of unanimously decided that, myself, Kranak, and Searles. You know, Vogues, is this thing going to be another nail biter, in your opinion, or does Nebraska kind of come out locked in, play well, and people are throwing bones at us here? Is this kind of a game where Nebraska makes a statement? Is that part? Is that on the menu tonight?
I thought it was on the menu last week, which makes me think it's a little bit less on the menu this week, given that it didn't quite unfold that way. I mean, given the – so we're at the stadium now, no precipitation at the moment. The wind is pretty significant, and the cold's going to be a factor, of course. But the big thing would be the wind. I think given that, you could have a game that should be pretty tight throughout. So that's kind of where I'm leaning with this one. I'm not seeing one team jump out here and kind of put up a big early number.
Is this going to be typical Big Ten football, who has the ball last with the win type of game? Is that what you're saying?
It could be. You know, last week Coach Frost won the toss and elected to kick, which he almost never does. But this feels like one of those games. You know, so who has that ball going with the win in the fourth quarter could end up being pretty big. And, you know, Nebraska obviously very, very uncertain at kicker still. Makes you nervous when you get into these conference games like that where you know things are more often than not going to be close, but nothing you can do but go with what you got.
Brandon Vogel's with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine. Vogues is joining us. He's already a couple blocks away at TCF Bank Stadium. Chris Schmidt, Jeremiah Searles, we're here at the Graduate here in the heart of Minneapolis. The Minnesota campus is a lot of fun. It's pretty cool. Mitch Sherman's going to be with us. Gary Sharp on the way. Our one-on-one with Noah Vedral is coming up. Samantha's phenomenal for getting us a chair, despite what she thinks I called her yesterday. That was a messed up situation.
That was hilarious.
She's now laughing at me. Vogues, I'm still a clown show on the road. So when you look at Nebraska here, talk to me about the kicking situation, bud. Where are you leaning? Is Nebraska going to dust McCallum off again, or has there a run been made by the club soccer kid?
Well, enough for him to make the travel roster, so that tells you something. I mean, I really think at this point, like, Nebraska is in a spot where if you're between the 30 and the 20, you're probably going for it. You just, without your kind of full-time scholarship kicker and windy conditions, I don't know what else you can really do other than the most chip shot of chip shot field goals. And even that last week, you know, that was obviously a high-pressure situation and got it through. But even on Monday, it almost seemed like Frost couldn't believe how it got through. So that's where they're at. You know, I think between which one kicks and which one doesn't, I almost kind of like they're hoping they don't have to kick anything but extra points at all. And I really do think that's pretty much where they're at.
With Noah running the offense tonight, most likely, I said that I think the RPO game might be alive and well. That might mean we see more of Jack Stoll and Austin Allen. Do you think those two guys are having a break? I think they might have a breakout game tonight. What have you kind of heard of tight end rumblings this week, if anything?
Yeah, you know, nothing out of the ordinary. It's been a couple weeks where people are kind of waiting for those guys to have that big game. And I kind of agree with you. You know, maybe getting if Nebraska goes with a different quarterback, That maybe that is something there, because for whatever reason, they just haven't, you know, Adrian and the tight ends haven't quite been linking up. And we know that Nebraska's needed some, you know, some pass catchers to step forward and become reliable options. And I think from what we've seen from both Stoll and Allen in limited moments, they've made some good plays. They made some great plays. They just haven't seen the ball a whole lot. So I think that's a really good point, Jeremiah. I think get a new quarterback in there, all of a sudden the ball could start finding those guys, and then, you know, that makes this even more of kind of the classic Big Ten matchup to match the skies above the stadium at the moment.
Brandon Vogel's with us. Follow him on Twitter and read him with HailVarsity.com at Brandon L. Vogel. That's where you follow him. That would be convenient, wouldn't it, Vogues, where if you're Noah – you can make a quick throw, get 4-6, whenever you want and find both of your tight ends just out in the flat or over the middle or on a stop route. You've not seen a lot of it if you're Nebraska. Defensively here, what's a key for you for this black shirt D here? Is it sacks? Is it first downs? I know, Jeremiah, you and I have talked this week about third down numbers. And believe it or not, in Big Ten play, Minnesota has been god-awful on third down.
Yeah, I think the key one for me coming in is probably holding up against the run game, and that almost, you know, that includes some tackles for loss. I think this Minnesota offensive line's big. We've seen them get moved a little bit. Like, I think Nebraska's defensive front has a good shot in this game, and Minnesota's passing game is pretty dangerous. It's a big play passing game. You have to be concerned with that. But they're still pretty committed to the run and have been all year. They weren't running it real well over the first four games. Last week against Illinois, they did. So I think going into tonight with the way the weather looks, that's the part Nebraska has to shut down. Like, if Minnesota can't have success on the ground, yeah, you know, we know they can throw the ball and get some yards that way. But I think you're making them play a little bit more uphill in this specific matchup if Nebraska's able to stop the run.
That's Brandon Vogel. We'll see if Nebraska can get the old hard hat going and shut him down running the football. Jeremiah Searles is here. Chris Schmidt, Brandon Vogel, as we're here at the Graduate here in the heart of the University of Minnesota, two blocks from the stadium. Brandon Vogel's at the stadium at TCF Bank Stadium giving us a rundown. Give me a quick prediction, Vogues.
Yeah, you know, like I said, I think this one stays pretty tight throughout. Just with a little bit of uncertainty, Nebraska playing a seventh straight game. I did take Minnesota to win this one. I think it would be about 31-24, somewhere in that range.
See, Vogues, we're going with our head, not our heart here. Not that we root or anything, but, you know, it's a little difficult. What are you going to – more importantly, Searles took me to a spot for breakfast and Searles took me for the incredible burger setup. Where are you going to lick your chops later tonight after the ball game? What are you looking for food-wise?
Well, it might depend on how quickly we get out of here. Not really counting on anything tonight, and then we're kind of out right away first thing in the morning. So this hasn't been the best trip for enjoying everything Minneapolis has to offer. Just too bad, because it's a city that I really, really love.
Well, we'll have to kidnap you, Vogues, and get you up here for football or baseball or 2 years from now, right? Brandon Vogel is at the stadium getting ready for Nebraska, Minnesota. We'll be there. Real Red Reaction follows immediately after here from the Graduate, Chris Schmidt, Jeremiah Searles. Vogues, thanks for jumping on, bud.
Thanks a lot, guys.
See you,
there
folks.
He is, Brandon Vogel, a timeout, and on site with us here from The Athletic. Does a great job covering Nebraska is Mitch Sherman.
The one, the only.
And Mitch Sherman up next is we'll step aside and come see us if you're here in Minneapolis. And if you're going to come next time, this place is awesome. A lot of good folks, a lot of fun, very busy. And it's convenient to the stadium. A timeout and back with more Weekend Edition. Hail Varsity presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Glad to have you back.
Yes, sir. You heard me right.
Here are the guys, Schmidt and Kranak.
Well, Hector, here's the game plan. You're going to bring us two absolute martinis. You know how I like them, straight up. And then precisely 7.5 minutes after that, you're going to bring us two more. Then two more after that, every 5 minutes until one of us passes out.
Excellent strategy, sir.
The Graduate Weekend Edition, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Some Viking fans giving me the stink eye. Maybe they're noticing you, Searles, is your time here in the purple.
Yes, you can be.
Yeah, he's a Viking.
I used to play for the Vikings, so we definitely can be.
Yeah.
We definitely can
be. Yeah, yeah. That's Eric Stratton. Damn glad to meet you. We welcome in Mitch Sherman. Mitch, how are you, man?
I'm doing well. I'm enjoying the Twin Cities here. Nice to get up into winter. I'm wearing two coats to the game today. Actually, it's not that bad. At my hotel, I'm staying downtown, and I'm on the 26th floor. And I was looking out the window last night, and it looked like,
one of those blizzard snow globe things.
Like the death blizzard had come in, and then I was standing outside on the roof of the fifth floor today, think the wind's blowing like 40 miles an hour up there. I felt like it was terrible. So I put two coats on, and then I got down on ground level. It's not bad.
It's not. Right. I went
it's
on.
Really, it's gotten better as the day's gone along.
I went on a little adventure here before we got kicked off at 3, and I'm kind of between sides of the street. You know, the stadium's two blocks, I guess, to the west. I don't know. I'm all turned around here.
East.
Thank you.
Never but, eat soggy waffles.
Okay. Yeah, I get that. But the point is you've got the trains that they have.
Right.
And I'm in this little protected area. There was a little bit of a breeze, but it wasn't too bad.
No, I don't think it's going to be a huge factor. I think all week there was a lot of talk about what this was going to be like, and snow and wet and cold and wind. And it's going to be like 37, 38 degrees. And maybe 10 to 15 mile an hour wind, and it looks fairly dry. Maybe some flurries. So that's good football weather.
I will say this though: the stadium does have that open end,
right?
And I'm playing here. That does play a factor when the wind does get ripping and roaring through this stadium. That open end of that can be a little bit. I have horrible memories on that open end of the stadium from the missed kick when I played here for Minnesota. So if we miss a kick over there tonight, you should just do the show without me because I'm not coming home.
A kick. That suggests that Nebraska's going to try a kick.
That's
tonight.
A fact as well. That is also the truth.
Mitch Sherman from The Athletic. Give him a follow on Twitter at Mitch Sherman. Jeremiah Searles, Chris Schmidt. Big thanks to Brandon Vogel earlier. Gary Sharp is coming up. Our one-on-one with Noah Vedral coming up here at 4:45 before we're out of here at 5. Real Red Reaction tonight around 10 o'clock. Searles, you'll be here for it. We'll take your calls, get your reaction, your thoughts on the Nebraska-Minnesota game. Mitch, we were talking about the importance of Maurice Washington tonight. That is huge. But from an offensive line standpoint, another talking point this week has been Juergens in the center spot. Do you see a more settled O-line today? There's been a lot of guys, be it Farniok or Coach Austin, saying, look, we need to be better as a group collectively, yes, but the center needs to settle down as well. If that does happen, you might see a new Nebraska.
Yeah, I think it's a kind of an offensive line kind of night. You know, we just got done talking about the weather and how it's not a huge factor, but still, it is going to be a game where the game's going to be played more, or I think Nebraska would like it to be played more within the hashes. And Minnesota, with its receivers, they're going to try to get out there and throw the ball and have guys just going up and making plays. And I think it's a strength-on-strength situation where Nebraska's DBs are up to the challenge. But if things go the way that Nebraska wants them to go, the game's going to be decided at the line of scrimmage. And, that of course, emphasizes the importance of the offensive line. And the offensive line doesn't work as a five-man group if Cam Juergens isn't getting that ball to the quarterback. I think if it's Noah Vedral tonight, which I fully expect it to be, that the importance of his snaps, it goes up exponentially.
Mm-hmm.
Adrian is taller. He has longer arms. He's a better athlete. He can jump higher. He's accustomed to Juergens' snaps. Really, since week one, I think he's done a great job of adjusting to the point where even those snaps that have been over his shoulder, he's been able to corral and keep the play in rhythm. And you can't expect Noah Vedral to do that because in practice, the snaps are there. This isn't an issue that's happening in practice on Monday through Friday. It's a mental thing where it's hurting Nebraska in the games and the games only. So it's really difficult to prepare for. And I could see Noah, they've got to be there for Noah.
You say that it's a line of scrimmage game. I mean, there's going to be a lot of talk about our offensive line, but what about our defensive line? Mm-hmm. I mean, our defensive line has to play well tonight. Who are you looking at up front to have big games against to stop this running attack of Minnesota?
Well, I think Khalil Davis is going to be motivated tonight to come back. He's coming off of that one-game suspension against Northwestern. And, I think Carlos, it's like playing without your other half.
Sure.
When Khalil's not out there. Those guys have gone through football their entire lives together. I mean, clearly they play off of each other and have some cues, and I'm sure they can communicate without even looking at each other. So I think both of those guys could be big for Nebraska. I think you saw Darian Daniels step up and play one of his best games of the year last week against Northwestern. Look, I mean, Minnesota ran for 330 yards last week. But that's not the offense that these Gophers have been all year. They've struggled to run the ball. I believe their per carry average before last week was under 3.0 yards per game or yards per carry, and they've had some issues protecting Tanner Morgan. So again, you know, much like the offense on the offensive side for Nebraska, where it's got to be won at the line of scrimmage. I think defensively, Nebraska has an opportunity to to win the line of scrimmage and get some big play out of the Davis brothers and Darian.
Mitch Sherman's on site with us from The Athletic at Mitch Sherman on Twitter is where you follow him. We're here at The Graduate, right in the center of the Gopher campus, two blocks from the stadium. Excited to kind of preview this thing with Mitch, as he's nice enough to stop by. And we've hit on the lines of scrimmage. We've touched on the quarterback situation and the running game and linebackers, not to go every level, but Nebraska's linebackers against what the tight ends and the crossing routes that Minnesota has been really good at, on top of just the quick throws, you know, that they get to these talented wide receivers. But I just, when I look at this thing, I look at Nebraska and their inability to be consistent running the ball. Got a backup quarterback, and then tackling in space has been okay at times, and then it can be leaky, and there's some special athletes Minnesota has. I think that could be a problem tonight for Nebraska.
Yeah, they're going to need a big game from the guys on the outside, I would say, at the outside linebackers. And I saw Alex Davis the last couple of weeks. And let's just throw out Ohio State, but because the
let's just burn that thing.
Well, I've kind of had that thought repeatedly as I've looked at this season and assessed things and looked at where Nebraska's progress is through six games.
Hey,
I think
you
kind
of
throw that one out because of how how different what the big disparity that existed in the level of athletes on the field that night. So the problems that Nebraska had against Ohio State are probably not anything that's going to be happening for the rest of this season. I mean, could they have those issues against Wisconsin? Sure, but Ohio State's at a different level. So talking about Alex Davis, he had some struggles when he got in space in one-on-one situations last week, even against Northwestern, and I'm sure Minnesota sees that. You know, they're going to try to exploit some things with their tight end. So, look to JoJo Doman. Mm-hmm. He obviously can do well at that kind of stuff. He's going to need to hold down his ground and make tackles when he has opportunities. And maybe there's a chance here for Tyron Ferguson to get into the game. And same with Caleb Tanner. I mean, you know, Caleb Tanner is an athlete, and he can do it. If he knows where he needs to go and where he needs to be, then he can be somebody that benefits Nebraska a lot in this game.
He said two names, and we talked on Tuesday about Fergie. And Fergie's fast and physical, and I know it was beat down time when he was in with the Ohio State game, but I like how Ferguson moves, and I remember last season, and I know Tanner is still a young pup, but Alex struggled, and Alex had a tough day a week ago against Northwestern. JoJo and Cam Taylor Britt, I don't worry about in space, right?
As good as Nebraska has.
Yeah, and those guys need to be funneled or be in position to be there with a couple of other guys, right, to make some of those tackles.
So those guys are – I'm not worried about tackling in space. My fear is that Minnesota knows that, okay, these are the guys that tackle. They're going to run these bubble screens. If it's a windy day, they're not going to throw the ball to these great talents. They're going to be like, hey, let's just get it to these guys. And it's going to be Boodle, Lamar Jackson, Cam Taylor Britt coming from a depth. I mean, you have Dismuke that's going to have to come from depth and make plays on these guys.
Sometimes great, sometimes he misses.
Those are the guys that I'm worried about making tackles in space. I think those are the guys we have to really hope that they can go and at least slow them down, not let them just do the one juke and go, because that's going to be, if it's windy, how they get the ball in their playmaker's hands.
Yeah, we'll see with Lamar. I mean, he's taken his game to another level, I would say, this season.
He's played well.
And, it's mainly been, of course, in coverage like it would be for a cornerback. Now, does he have the ability to come up and defend on those screens and even defend against the run? I mean, he should. Physically, he should. Mm-hmm. He looks like the kind of guy. He's not undersized at all.
But he's a corner.
Yeah, right. And I mean, if he's going to prove himself to be, worthy of, and let's just say, a high-round pick at this point, because I don't really think there's any question right now about whether Lamar Jackson is going to be drafted next year. He is. Can he be in a first half of the draft kind of guy? There's some things that he's still got to prove, and one of them is tackling in space and being able to do run support and making stops on screens and being able to play against the tight end if he's matched up in that kind of a situation. So tonight might be a big game for him to show some of that.
Mitch Sherman doing a great job covering Nebraska for The Athletic at Mitch Sherman on Twitter. That's where you follow him. Mitch, I need a prediction, and then I need a heads up on your podcast so folks can check that out. Searles, you got your own podcast and thing going on Twitch Monday nights. That's awesome. Mitch, give folks, Nebraska fans, a heads up what you got rocking after your prediction here.
Yeah, we'll do the podcast first because I want to get out of here and then like run for my life after I make the prediction. But
hey, I got booed yesterday.
Dude,
I got
you guys booed, are killing me.
I got booed out of my mind yesterday.
No,
here.
Our podcast is twice a week. The Monday episode is for subscribers to The Athletic. You can find it on the app, on the site, in the Nebraska football feed. It's called The Sellouts. Max Olson, who's a national writer, and myself, who of course, covers Nebraska. We do it every Monday, usually from the stadium after Scott sure. Frost's press conference next week. There will not be a press conference, so we'll be doing it from somewhere else. And then Thursdays, it's on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you get podcasts. Again, search for The Sellouts. Download the show, like our show. This last Thursday, just 2 days ago, I sat down with Chris Brown, the former Nebraska place kicker, 11-year NFL vet, and we talked about everything place kicking, you know, the mental side of the game. And, you know, injuries with kickers are something that people don't really think about, but Nebraska's had two, maybe more, injuries to place kickers this year. And, you know, Chris went through a long Nebraska career and a long NFL career and had to keep himself healthy, and generally did. And, you know, I thought his insight into that was awesome. So, you know, go find that one. It's free on Apple and Spotify. If you like it, you know, go subscribe to The Athletic and you'll get our podcast twice a week plus a bunch of stories. My prediction on the podcast Thursday was Minnesota 20-13.
Okay.
So, you know, look, this is a game for Nebraska that can be won. And I think Noah Vedral is the right guy in this situation. Not that a healthy Adrian Martinez wouldn't be able to get the job done. I mean, I think he would, and it's always better for Nebraska to have Martinez healthy. But this is nothing like what Nebraska's had in some of its previous years where it's had to go to a backup quarterback. You know, whether it was Andrew Bunch last year against Troy, or I'd even say Ron Kellogg in some of the years where there were injuries there. Noah is an experienced, savvy guy who I think fits into the game plan that Nebraska needs to operate tonight to beat Minnesota. So maybe this thing's going to be a giant shock and Adrian's going to walk out there and take the first snap, but I do not expect that at all. I think he's going to sit this one, sit next week for the bye, and then try to get in position to return against Indiana in a couple weeks. So, you know, we'll see. It could be a special night. Noah Vedral, we're talking 25 years after his uncle, Matt Turman.
Down to the old Little Apple.
Yeah, I mean, it was amazing to research some of that this week and come up with the similarities that were going on there with the family. Family resemblance was the headline on the story that I wrote that was on The Athletic on Wednesday. And, you know, Noah turns 21 on Monday. He was born 4 years to the day after Matt Turman's start in Manhattan, his only start, his uncle's only start. So, he could, one way or another, he's going to earn that first legal drink that he gets on Monday night with what happens
bye week and, Monday and, night.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's go.
Mitch, appreciate you much, man. Good to see you.
Yeah,
we'll
good to be
send
with you
guys. It to SportsCenter. Regroup hour two before we get you ready for Nebraska, Minnesota here on the road from the graduate here with Hail Varsity Weekend presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
From the John Henry's Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Studios, this is KLMS Lincoln, the Capital City's Husker Authority. Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
All right, hour two it is with Hail Varsity Radio. Weekend edition is at the graduate. Chris Schmidt and Husker NFLer Jeremiah Searles. Pretty good stuff. We are, what do we got there, Searles, in hand?
I have a peanut butter shot of whiskey for you. The bottle looked like your ovary drink that you drank last night.
Listen, let's set the record straight. We're at the Red Cow last night.
All right.
Getting a burger, and I order a whiskey sour.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't say give me the biggest foo-foo umbrella drink you can get. I said give me a whiskey.
Okay.
Give me a whiskey sour, please.
And then they brought it out
in a beautiful... They brought it out in a champagne. It looked like I ordered a foo-foo thing from the coffee shop.
But then they also
they do
had...
the design thing up top.
Yep, and it looked like ovaries.
No, it looked like Bevo's face.
Ovaries. So you were drinking ovaries last night.
whatever, dude. That's quite filthy. There's no ruling, and there's no excuse for how wussy the drink looked last night.
It's fair. It was pretty good, though. I'll give you that.
It was a good drink, but that's not what I ordered. When I order a whiskey sour, like Thomas Shelby does, okay,
it's
in a tumbler.
Yes.
It's not in a champagne glass with a female design on it.
You knew the second they set that down we were giving you all kinds of crap.
Oh, right? Completely. I get that. I get that. And, you know, between the price and the appearance, at least it tasted good. Okay, here's what we got on the docket for the second hour.
Sharpie boy.
Gary Sharp is 30 minutes away. We will get caught up with Noah Vedral will join us. Noah Vedral, our sit down, our one-on-one with Noah Vedral. There's more Eagles fans here. Lots and lots and lots of Reds talking to, oh my dear Lord, it's a David Berry sighting. My man, how are you, DB?
Dude, there's going to be 15,000 Nebraska fans
David
here.
Berry from the years and years and years of Wilderness Ridge, and now he's relocated to Minnesota. He's one of my favorite people.
Oh, I love it.
He's awesome, and it's good to see him. We're here. There's a lot of beautiful people here, too.
Dude, yeah, I love Minneapolis, man. Minneapolis is the coolest place ever. My wife and I have talked multiple times. We didn't live in Lincoln. We live in Minneapolis.
A lot of people want to live here.
It is, because if you can weather the winter, and they're terrible. The winters in Minnesota are awful. But the summers, I'm telling you, spring and summertime are the greatest times ever in Minnesota. Thank you so much. Gosh, we are these
Samantha's
people that graduate here.
Samantha,
Chuck, all the people that graduate
Samantha's
here.
Samantha's a Breaking Bad fan as well.
Oh.
She got the reference, and she's taking care of us here. She works here at the Graduate, downtown Minneapolis.
Got the Husker tailgate going on over there.
Right, she's got a Husker sweatshirt. Doc Berg is here. Good to see him. The Husker bar, he says, what's up? So, yeah, there's a ton of Nebraska folks here. And around the corner, they've got, it's like in Lincoln, they've got the Tiki Bar when we do our Friday shows at the Graduate. They've got a bar set up we'll say about a down and out route away. And there's lots of Saban stuff going on as Bama is in action. Wisconsin is the hammer and Sparty is the nail here. Ironically enough, Illinois is doing it again. They are getting beat, but it's somehow close. Against Michigan.
Because Michigan sucks.
They're just not good. Elijah Herbel is back at our studios. He is also putting in work for the Real Red Reaction. We'll be on at 10 tonight. Our old man, Big Red, is here. Good to see Big Red. He's like, Schmidt, you talk too much. let's hear from Scott Frost on probably the key yes snaps. Yes, Vedral being calm. Yes, run defense. But the running game. Frost on Maurice Washington earlier this week.
Well, as far as the first half, that was my decision to hold him out. We hold our players to a certain standard, and we want them all to live up to that standard. We held him out the first half. How did he respond? We'll see how he responds this week. We want him to come back and prepare well and get ready to play well. And if he does, this will all be water under the bridge. But we need him to respond just like the rest of the team.
This is a monster game for Maurice Washington. He has got to bounce back. He's got to stay healthy. He's got to be mentally into it. He's got to show his teammates, his offense, his coaches, himself, that he can carry the mail today.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to have to be one of those guys that comes to work, and he's been challenged, not just by his coach, but I guarantee you his teammates have challenged him as well. So he's going to have to come out there and prove to him that he's back. He's got a good attitude. He was mad at himself last week. He's ready to do everything he can to help propel this Nebraska offense to scoring some points. I want to see us score 21 points today. 21 points in a game like today, with the weather like it is, against a tough opponent in conference, in division, is going to be hard. But we can do it on the back of Maurice Washington and Wandell Robinson.
This is more from Frost when it comes to Mo's response and what he anticipates.
Maurice has had a good week. You know, we need him to be ready to go for a whole game. He's obviously makes us a better team when he's out there, so we need him out there more often.
Okay. So we'll see if he responds. Dedrick Mills, you're kind of waiting for him to go off. Can he have a big-time game? He had a really good game against the Illini, right? But you and I both kind of look at each other and go, you know, you're supposed to have a good week against the Illini. Mm-hmm. It gets real. You found a way against Northwestern. That needs to be commended. You never sneeze or roll your eyes at Northwestern. Any way you can find a way around those guys, home or away, you take, because they sting people. They play way over their skis most of the season to the tune of a Big Ten West title a year ago. Now you've got Minnesota, man, and it's kind of a prove-it moment for this Gopher team in 2019. You have a situation where Minnesota's off to a start. There's not a lot of belief here. We bumped into people the last 48 hours that, you know, they're happy that Minnesota's undefeated, but they're not putting any money on them. Well, they're waiting for Lucy to pull the football away.
Yeah, I mean, Minnesota sports fans' psyches and their hopes in Minnesota sports teams are shakeable, to say it nicely. They are not solid in any foundation when it comes to Minnesota sports. So, yeah, they're looking to make a statement. Minnesota wants to say, you know what? We're a real 5-0 team. We are at a national level to be a caliber on national level, compete with anyone in the country. And that's what they're going to say tonight if they can come out here and get a statement win at home in front of a night crowd that's going to be loud, it's going to be packed, whether it is Nebraska fans, Minnesota fans, it will be a packed stadium either way. And if they can find a way to come out and win, people are going to start talking about them more, and they're staring 8-0 Penn State game day potentially here in Minneapolis in about 3 weeks.
I was thinking about that for a moment, and I want to say a shout-out to Nick and his dad who came all the way from Chicago. They listen every day on the stream, ESPN Lincoln.
He was pumped to meet you.
He's awesome, dude.
I was going to have to take a picture of you with him.
He got a picture, and that's nice. I don't know why, but bless his heart. Listen, you have Minnesota right now that they are trending upward, and I got yelled at for the drink I had last night because it came in a foo-foo glass that had a foo-foo design on it. And then I also got yelled at because I said, you know, I think P.J. Fleck can coach.
Here's the thing. He can coach.
You got the personality that is absolutely going to peel the paint for people.
Yeah, and I agree. When you look at it objectively, if you take away the light and dog and pony show of P.J. Fleck and you look strictly at the result of players and teams that he's put on the field, yes, the guy can coach. The guy can develop talent. Third year in the program up here in Minneapolis, he's starting to get his culture, starting to get what he wants, whether how ridiculous it is or not with Row the Boat. They're doing something right, putting good teams on field. Now, for me, when you add in the other bull crap, when it's the fashion
Well edit.
I gotcha. If it's the fashion or if it's the outlandish remarks or if it's having your video department make a graphic for your wife for birthday to post on the Minneapolis Twitter, it just goes too far for me, and I can't put the two and two together, which is why I'm not a Fleck fan. But you nailed it. If you can coach and you can do it right, as long as you're winning, people handle the other crap. As long as you're winning, none of that matters. The second you start losing, that stuff, the cuteness, the row the boat, the outlandish outfits and stuff, starts getting old fast. Let's go,
all right,
Big Red.
More Nebraska fans are happy here. I mean, I love the Big Red Army. I love the enthusiasm. There's Nebraska fans in the can here that were, you know, washing our hands after doing our business, and they're excited, and the support is unwavering. This is a fun trip. It's not as close as Iowa City, but Nebraska fans love going to Minnesota. And I'll say this. This is a big moment in the season, yes, for Minnesota. It's a big opportunity for Nebraska football. And I mean it in all complimentary form here, but to get some equity back. Nebraska fans are going to travel. Nebraska fans are going to cheer for the Big Red. Nebraska fans aren't sure what their team is in 2019 right now. The hype versus the hope versus the reality. And if you're Coach Frost and company, you go get a win like this. It's not that people have gotten off the bandwagon. I think some folks may have checked out just on where this team can go. It isn't beating Wisconsin or Iowa. But the fact is, you go get Minnesota on the road, Nebraska fans will absolutely tip their cap and appreciate this type of win. It won't go unnoticed. Right, honestly, I mean, there's a lot of Nebraska fans that just are nervous right now where this team's at game to game, week to week. It started with Colorado. You got kicked while you were down against Ohio State. You almost didn't want to watch Northwestern. You didn't want to watch Northwestern until the final 2 minutes. and now you have a chance to kind of make it all right after stumbling and under-delivering based on the hype.
Well, let's look at it this way. There's three tiers of teams in the Big Ten, right? You got your elites. Mm-hmm. You got Ohio State. I'd even throw Penn State in there right now. But then you got this middle class of teams, which is where you put Nebraska. That's Minnesota, Northwestern, Indiana, maybe Illinois. But then you got the bottom teams, which is Rutgers and Maryland. And you go down the map. Where does Nebraska fit into there? They obviously know we're not in the elite teams, but we're in that middle category. And what we have to start doing is competing with the teams in the middle category. We have to start being in very competitive games with this, like Minnesota, Northwestern. And until we start really dominating the middle portion of this Big Ten conference, we're never going to be able to even compete at that elite team level. And so right now, that's the confusion, is like, are we on the bottom half of that middle tier, or are we on the like upper half? Right now, I'd say we're on the more of the bottom half, in my opinion, mm-hmm. just for where we're at. And I'd say we're on the bottom half working our way up, but you just don't know what Nebraska team's going to show up on Saturday. Is it the fourth quarter Illinois, or is it the team that turned the ball over the entire first half of Illinois? I mean, they're Jekyll and Hyde a lot right now.
Well, there's inconsistency because of their youth. They're a young team. You've got an injured quarterback. You have an opportunity right now if you're Nebraska to kind of loosen things up offensively with Noah today. And, yeah, I mean, if you're looking at a power ranking setup, you've got Penn State on their own island. I should say Ohio State on their own island. You have Penn State. I know Sparty's record's not great, but I would put Sparty, you know, right there with Michigan. And then you've got everybody else. Iowa's pretty good as well. And Wisconsin is right there.
I'd say 1A, 1B
for your tops in the Big Ten, Ohio State, Wisconsin, right? And then probably Penn State. And if you're Nebraska right now, you've beaten Northwestern. Are you above Minnesota? Are you above Michigan State? Okay. Are you above where are you in this log jam of that middle class you're touching on?
Yep.
And it's an opportunity. You can drop a game to Minnesota and end up 7-2 in the West, but you just don't feel real confident in that because you've escaped with your life against Illinois. You found a way to outlast Northwestern, which is impressive. Now you have a road opportunity here at Minnesota, and Minnesota's not great. Their offensive line is okay. Their defensive line's not fantastic. You've got a competent quarterback for the first time in a while. You've got a great receiving core. You've got an inconsistent but really talented group of running backs because of that offensive line. And you got a defense that no one's super worried about, because as much as Nebraska can make you sweat tackling in open space, aside from Winfield, Minnesota's a bad tackling football team, mm-hmm. too. So it's pretty even.
Yeah, it's absolutely even. And the other piece of it is how much of Nebraska fans look at PJ Fleck's third-year team now
and go,
that could be us next year. I mean, how close could Scott Frost be staring 5-0 in the face, and we'll be looking at this exact same scenario next year and thinking, wow, we'll take that. You know, I think Minnesota fans, a lot of that are like, what we've had and what we've been through these last few years, like, we're just happy for where we are, and now the rest is bonus. Like, if Minnesota can start climbing up that middle echelon of the Big Ten West, like, great, that's awesome. But there's no expectation for it, and that's the difference between the Minnesota Gophers fan base and the Nebraska Cornhuskers fan base. The Nebraska Cornhuskers fan base goes, you know what, if we're not climbing and we're not moving our way to elite status, we're not happy. Minnesota, they're like, you know, we're all right. We're in the middle. We're okay. We're happy with that. We're winning. We're not getting blown out. We're having competitive games. And that's the difference in these two programs. And that's the difference of what is the expectation on Scott Frost and Row the Boat, PJ Fleck.
And listen, you can go 8-4, 9-3 in Minnesota. And that's kind of where Minnesota wants to live, but it's not common.
No.
I mean, it just isn't. I got corrected by some Gopher fans. The last 9-win season they had was with Tracy Dilly Barclays, which was a Jerry Kill squad. And, you know, Fleck had to really kind of revamp who he recruits and goes after to be better, at least get into the 40s recruiting-wise.
Yep.
And they have done that. But for Nebraska right now, you know, Nebraska fans can be a 9-win football team. And in all honesty, you get a 9-win football team, That has not happened for a long time.
Yeah, let alone
stacking nine wins.
Yeah, that's a great year. That's a great year for Minneapolis. They have nine wins, dude. This fan base goes nuts. Where mm-hmm. we had nine wins in Nebraska for 5 years and fired our coach.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
but it's looking. But you know, if you're a Nebraska fan, you've been humbled for a while now, and it's time to maybe appreciate 8 or 9.
I think it is.
Especially after.
It's the once grandpa came to town. But what it is the fact that this is not the same college football that we were used to in 1990s, early 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the game has changed regardless of the South, SEC, the Big 12, the Pac-12.
Georgia just got beat at home for the love of God.
I mean,
by
it's
South
just
Carolina.
Not, and the other difference I'm going to tell you, the gap between BCS and FCS is very, very small.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't think the days of you're going to trounce an FCS team into a game and you're just going to blow them out is closing, because talent is everywhere. You got guys that are playing elite levels that maybe didn't have the grades, maybe didn't have the money, maybe didn't have the notoriety coming out of high school, that come in and they go play at a South Dakota State. They go play in Northern Illinois. And they're going to be great players, NFL caliber players. And you get 5, 6 of those guys on a team. Guess what? That team is now really good. So, excuse me, but it's just the fact that talent level's increasing on the lower ends and that Nebraska stayed pretty stagnant from where they've been in the last 5, 6 years.
A quick timeout, and we are going to run down the Iron Horse, Gary Sharp. A reminder, buckling up, nothing stops that motion. Like the seatbelt, it prevents excessive injury. When your vehicle and body need to slow down in a hurry, it applies to the driver's seat, passenger seat, or back seat. Buckle up now. Click it or ticket. A message from the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety Office. A timeout. We'll run down the Iron Horse next on Hail Varsity. Here at the Graduate Downtown campus of the University of Minnesota, 2 blocks from Gopher Stadium. Chris Schmidt and our favorite Husker NFLer, Jeremiah Searles. Real Red Reaction. We're here also at the Graduate following Nebraska Gophers. A timeout and Sharpie's up next.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Back with you, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. We're here at the Graduate, the campus of Minnesota, as we are overrun, God love them, by the Red Army. We are 2 blocks from the stadium. Brandon Vogel's checked in. Mitch Sherman has been on site. One-on-one with Noah Vedral. Don't forget Real Red Reaction. Around 10 o'clock, immediately following Nebraska-Minnesota. Jeremiah Searles is here, co-hosting, and we welcome in the Iron Horse. Our dear friend and analyst Gary Sharp is with us. Sharpie, it's a cold, blustery day up here. It's football weather. The old linemen like Searles love this type of thing.
No sleeves.
Big no sleeves. Sharpie, we've asked everybody that's come on, are you wearing sleeves today?
I will have sleeves on just because they don't like me walking around with the guns hanging out.
It isn't. Yeah, you don't have your concealed carry. I get it. That makes sense.
You need a license for that, Gary.
But this is Big Ten West. It's the middle of October in Minnesota where, heck, you don't know what you're going to get. It's okay. You know, you're playing prime time. It shouldn't affect anybody. I mean, it always blows me away that people are like, well, it's cold. Well, you understand that when the season's over, players on the respective rosters of teams like Minnesota and Nebraska, they don't go back home. It's not like it's professional season, and once it gets really cold in Lincoln, guys that are from Florida, they go back to Florida, they come back when it's warm again. So, I mean, everybody's used to it. For people that have not played in, as probably Jeremiah touched on, I mean, it takes a little bit, but once you get a good sweat on, you get out there and playing, I think today the wind is the biggest thing. I mean, the wind can play havoc with what's on your play sheet, and even more in Nebraska's situation, not knowing exactly who the kicker is going to be at any moment during this game.
Gary, there's a lot of talk on the quarterback play, obviously, Adrian, Noah, whatsoever. I think Noah walks out there and takes the first snap of this game and really smoothly runs this offense. What are you looking for from this offense if Noah's at the helm to be the staple of what they do today?
I think it won't look drastically different. I think they trust Noah, and they have the whole playbook at their expense. They will have known that Noah was going to be their guy for a while, so they've repped a lot of their pet plays, I believe, Jeremiah, on what they're going to use in this game that is for his strength. But I think what you'll also see is
I go back to something that Scott said 2 weeks ago about this game before a bye, and it has been a grind, whether you're a player or a coach, mentally and physically. Keep in mind, Nebraska hasn't played a lot of guys. They haven't had the ability to play a lot of guys in the first 6 weeks. So Scott's asked these guys to invest a lot emotionally. So I think what you'll see is, you know, they'll throw everything they can at Minnesota with their offense. But in a sense, they'll be a little bit conservative. They'll play to the strengths of Noah Vedral. That's why I think a guy like Mills has a chance to have a big, big night tonight, is they'll look to play a little Big Ten football. And something that, you know, maybe when you have a guy like Adrian Martinez, you say, let's hit the home run, let's go for the big 3-4 play drives, and let's score quickly. Where with Noah Vedral, you might be able to say, let's just line it up and let's go 8, 10, 12 play drives and take that time of possession that Minnesota loves to win that category. Let's take it away from them and let's use that to our strength with the quarterback who, even though we think we can play tempo with, he might be better suited to run those kind of drives.
Gary Sharp's with us, the Iron Horse, Hail Varsity Radio. We're here at the graduate downtown campus of Minneapolis, the Gophers and Huskers, Longhorns, here about two blocks away from where we're at. The Big Red Army is alive and well. We've got so many Nebraska fans here. So Searles has been posing for pictures all day. I love it. He's flexing the guns right now. Sharpie, I got to ask you, man, we talk about Mills, we talk about Noah, and I'm interested what you think is a good day for Mo Washington today.
Well, I think a good day for Mo Washington is that when the bus left the hotel, he was on it. He was on time. They didn't have to think twice about him all week because last week was a bad look. And I'm a firm believer that this offense looks and feels differently when 28 is on the field, whether he's touching the ball or not. When he's doing what they ask of him, I mean, good things can happen for a lot of people around him and Mo Washington. Last week was a bad look. That was Mopey Mo. Mo's not a leader. Mo's not a follower. He's different. He's quirky. He's someone with a personality that hasn't been in this program in a while. But he's got a head coach and a position coach that have invested a lot in him. And they're looking for a return on their investment this week because they need him to play four quarters. They need him to be engaged mentally because this is a really interesting point for a guy like Mo Washington. Because Nebraska, the last thing they need is drama. And you also have the thing hanging over in the bye week is that that's the next court date for Mo Washington. And so Nebraska wants to keep him in the program and engaged. And I think they'll use him to his strengths tonight. You know, I don't think it'll be, hey, we're going to call plays that are meant to be run up the middle. You better run them. I think they will run plays that Mo feels comfortable with, that they're not going to try and shove down his throat that, hey, let's run between the tackles. They're going to try and run plays that get him to the outside. Keep in mind, when he has had double-figure carries, including his best game as a Husker against Minnesota last year, when he gets double-figure carries, he's up around 6 yards per carry, and he gets into a rhythm. I think they try and get him involved early, let him take a hit, let him get into the game flow, and then let everybody flow off of what he's able to do.
One of the biggest things for the Nebraska team this year has been turnovers. We've gotten some on defense. We've turned it over quite a bit on offense. What does the turnover margin have to be today? Does it have to be plus one? Does it have to be even? I mean, what does it have to be? I think the Huskers have to be plus two in order to win this game. What are you looking for from the black shirt side to take it away? And do you think we can go this game with Noah at home at the helm without turning it over?
Well, that's, you know, it may not be him. You and I have talked, Jeremiah, about the snapping issue. This is not the game to have those kind of snapping issues. And as a result, you see a lot more under center. Not because of, hey, this is how we're going to run our offense, but hey, we don't want to put the ball on the carpet and ruin opportunities. I agree with you. I think plus one, plus two is pretty important. But I think in a game like this, where I believe that the game is going to be close, I don't think that I think the line is too big. I think Nebraska finds a way to keep this close to get it to the fourth quarter. Now, with that said, Minnesota's used to winning games in the fourth quarter this year, with three come-from-behind victories of their five and four have been one-possession games. I think Nebraska needs something defensively in a game like this to win on the road when things are against you. You need to win the turnover battle. You need to win the field position battle. And I think you need to have a big either defensive play, a game-changer like a Lamar Jackson interception like we saw last week, or something in the return game where you get a big return either for a score or sets up a position. I think the intangibles have to come into play tonight for Nebraska. because Minnesota's going to try and hold on to the football for a long time. And this also might be one of those crazy games that Nebraska plays where you only get 10 to 11 possessions when you're used to getting 14, 15, 16 possessions during the course of a game.
Darren Sharps with us, Hail Varsity Radio, the Iron Horse. Sharpie, I think you nailed it with possessions, and your Stars got a star tonight. I want to go to P.J. Fleck in year three. This is a big moment for this team, pretender, contender type opportunity. Not that Nebraska's Wisconsin or anything, but the point is Wisconsin's kind of changed the wallpaper. They got their signature win in year one under Fleck, dismantling Nebraska. They went to a bowl game last year in year two and won at Madison. Now people wonder if you're for real or not. What do you do against Nebraska, an injured Nebraska? This is pretty big. What's been your take on the Gophers? Are you impressed with them that they've found a way to be undefeated, or are you doubting them because, look, nice story, they're 5-0, but they haven't played nor beaten anybody. Where do you kind of side with the Gophers?
Well, let's do this. Let's separate P.J. Fleck from his current football team. That's a pretty good football team. And you will give credit to Fleck because he turned the roster over in a short amount of time. I think people are still wondering who Minnesota is. It's really weird. They're playing week 7 for Nebraska, week 6 for Minnesota. And these two teams are really mysterious. And Nebraska is not really near what you thought they would be, even though they're one game off on any prediction that people were making. Minnesota's 5-0. I don't think Minnesota knows exactly who they are. Are they the team that dismantled Illinois, especially in the second half? Or are they the team that struggled with the Georgia Southern? So this is one of those games that kind of turns things. But I wonder about the mental pressure of Minnesota when everybody's saying, hey, game day could be here November 9th when you're 8-0. Well, you're only 5-0. You can't win and go to 8-0. So we'll see how that plays in. But, you know, Fleck has got them in a good spot. He's proven that they can win and they can find a way to win. He's upgraded his talent. But this is one of those key games that it comes down to coaching. Because if Scott Frost and his staff, if they're able to go up to the Twin Cities tonight and win a game, that is, and I know it's short, not even full 2 years of the head coach, that's the most impressive win for Nebraska. But there is everything tonight saying it is against Nebraska. But, man, there's just really the way this game matches up with what Minnesota does well, Nebraska does well, and both teams' weaknesses, that this staff has found a way to get a game plan that will work as long as Nebraska doesn't hurt themselves. I hope that Minnesota hurts themselves. But keep in mind, Minnesota doesn't hurt themselves very often. Penalties, they're very, very low in. They don't turn the ball over a lot. Where they struggle has been special teams. So in a game where you don't know who your kicker is going to be, you'll need to win that battle. It keeps coming back. I think Nebraska hangs around in this game. I don't think it's, oh, no, Nebraska's in trouble. Martinez isn't playing. Gilman may be limited. It's going to be over. I'm not going that far. I think this is a tight fourth-quarter game tonight.
Sharpie, what's on your docket? Are you putting a pot of chili on? We've kind of matched football and food with our trip here. Despite my wussy after-dinner drink last night, I tried to be manly. Are you doing a bowl of chili tonight? What do you got on the docket as you watch this thing?
Well, where you're at, you got to load up. You got some walleye that's saved over from the summer. You got a lot of grain belt that's going to be available to you. I'm not a huge Juicy Lucy fan. You go to a party that's catered by Red Cow. Yeah, you're doing well. You're doing well. But anyway, hey, it's because football weather. I think this is a game. If you know Nebraska makes it through, boy, you take a deep breath and you go, wow, 5-2, and a lot of things are in front of you. Imagine what 4-3 is, guys, with an off week. And a lot of questions. But this staff really wants to get to the point of the bye where they can self-evaluate, self-scout. It's a lot more exciting to do that off of a victory than a disappointing loss on the road.
Sharpie, need a score from you.
I think Nebraska wins tonight 26-23.
Ooh. About time, Sharpie. I'm the only one out here that's saying Nebraska's going to win. I've had Schmidt, I've had Sherman, I've had Vogues. They're all like, oh, I don't know. I think Nebraska wins tonight.
I think they find a way. Scott finds a way to win this game tonight. Now remember, of all the coaches in the Big Ten, this is just my personal opinion because I hear Scott talking, you know, really high respect of a lot of coaches around the league. But there's something about Fleck's personality that rubs Scott the wrong way. So it kind of makes this game a little bit personal.
Rubs everyone the wrong way.
That's good. That's pretty good. Sharpie, take care, brother. We'll talk to you next week. Appreciate your time.
Hey, thanks, guys.
There he is, the Iron Horse. It's Gary Sharp. As we are here at the Graduate on the campus of Minnesota, we are two blocks from the stadium getting ready for Nebraska.
Those cookies are delicious.
And Minnesota, we've had so many awesome Nebraska fans
So many Nebraska fans here.
You've got a peanut butter shot of something, a peanut butter whiskey that's phenomenal.
It's really good.
There's hydration stations that are being brought to us. We have cookies that you're eating. And we now have a one-on-one with the likely starter tonight, Noah Vedral. Great stuff from Mitch Sherman. Great stuff from Brandon Vogel. And, of course, our dear friend Gary Sharp, the Iron Horse, Jeremiah Searles, Chris Schmidt. Real Red Reaction gets going at 10-ish tonight right after Nebraska-Minnesota. We'll be here. We want your thoughts, your feedback, your response, your phone calls, your tweets, your emails. So we'll do that. Elijah Herbel, as Mr. Herbel will have us locked in and ready to go here after the Nebraska game. We're going to step away, wind down this weekend edition in our chat with Noah Vedral. Next, Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Updates, breaking news, and late-breaking developments all the way up to kickoff. No one does football like Lincoln's ESPN.
And now.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
A few minutes, Noah Vedral sitting down with us here. We're looking out at Memorial Stadium. Take me through that final drive, your calmness, your command in the huddle, and how your guys followed.
Our guys did a really great job responding. They did a great job helping me out, being more sound in their assignments, a little more focus. But that last drive, the one where we got the ball to Wandale, started with just a normal inside zone play that didn't really quite get us what we wanted, but Coach Frost called a play that we hadn't necessarily prepared, but that we know very well. And then again, from what we prepared for, we knew that they were kind of an overlap team, which means their corners are going to kind of steal the hash. So I was expecting that, and they gave it to us. They rolled the three. And then a funny story with that is Friday at practice, I actually had that look and had that play and missed the throw. So me and Bunch ended up staying 25, 30 minutes after practice just repping that throw. So I probably had 20 to 30 balls at full game tempo throws that was the last thing I really worked on our last day of prep, and it kind of showed up on Saturday. So I'm glad Bunchy and I did that work, and it obviously showed up in the game, and Wandale made a great catch. And then really after that was just getting us kind of centered, trying to get us an extra couple of yards for Lane to make his job as easy as we can. And then obviously he made a huge kick and won that game for us.
When you say miss the throw, what did you miss about it? What was off about it?
I just threw it over his head. A little too much air. Got a little too excited. It was a little more open in practice than it was there. So I was like, okay, let's get it out there. But we came back in. We took some air off of it and lined it out. And it was very similar to the throw that I made in the game. It was the one that we were working on.
So you made a tougher throw in the game.
Probably than it was in practice. I mean, they're trying to show you the look and get you to see what you need to see. So they were making sure that I saw the overlap, and then I was a little maybe aggressive with it in practice, and then thinking I could lead him to the end zone. But that one we just needed to get down in the red zone.
So how many game-winning drives have you been a part of? I know Saturday was one when you engineered it to get the walk-off for Lane's field goal. But in your career, you guys practice two-minute situation or go win it, you know, John Elway time.
Yeah.
Take me back through your career, either in a scrimmage or in live action with your high school career. I mean, was that the first or was that one of many?
That was probably the first of that scale. But in high school, I had a chance. Norfolk Catholic was really good the time when I was in high school. And I think it might have been my junior year. We had a little slant flat combo on the 2-yard line that we ended up scoring on and walking off basically with only a few seconds left on the clock. So that was probably like my first real football chance to get a walk off. We had a couple others in high school that maybe not quite as close, more 4-minute offensive type of stuff where we score with 10 minutes, 8 minutes left in the game. A lot more in probably basketball, playing basketball for a long time, lots of drawing up plays. Friends of mine, shout out to my friend Jackson, who I've watched hit numerous game-winning shots that I usually end up assisting on playing point guard. So there's numerous times where we've been in those late game situations. The best part of it is you're really never thinking. That's the best part, is when you practice that like we do with late game situations. I mean, through camp, we'd had red zone ones. I was super excited if we could get to overtime and just be in the red zone. I felt really good about our game plan in the red zone, and I was confident that if we could get to overtime, that we could win this game. Fortunately, we didn't have to go to overtime, but again, like, we had numerous situations in practice where we're up against the wall, up against the clock, and we've made it happen before. So we were comfortable in that situation.
How is Coach Frost, Noah Vedral sitting down with us, Hail Varsity Radio, how has Coach Frost made you comfortable, and his work, Coach Mario's work, your work, all kind of working together for moments like Saturday and an opportunity ahead, if called upon?
No, they do a great job expecting starter level production out of the rest of us. Whether it's me, Luke, Bunch, Matt, Braden, they expect us to operate the level of a starter so that if this situation comes up, that there's no drop off. There's no need to, we got to simplify the playbook or call it more conservative. That, no, we're ready to go. We've made the throws in practice. We've all repped it. We've all seen it. We watch lots of tape during the week. But they do a great job simplifying the game plan, even if it is complex, to the point where the quarterbacks feel very comfortable. They can make fast decisions. They can see the things they need to see, streamline that stuff for us. And then obviously anything that I can do, extra tape, asking the questions I need to ask so that when I go in Saturday on every given play, I know exactly what I should do in any situation or any look. And that's the stuff that they do a great job getting to us. And then as a group, I think our quarterback room does a good job asking the questions if we're unsure, and making sure there's no gray area or anywhere that any of us feel uncomfortable.
How'd you celebrate?
I was pretty tired, so I got done talking to you guys here at the stadium, and then got to walk out with Adrian to their car and stuff like that. And I ended up just going home to my apartment. I had my family over, the ones that were in town. So mom, dad, brothers, sisters, an old friend of mine came by, my old basketball trainer. He got to hang out with us for a while. And then they went home around 9, 10 o'clock, and I ended up watching Pac-12 at night until I fell asleep on the couch, just tired, and slept in nice and late on Sunday. Pretty chill. I really like my Sundays, I'm not gonna lie. I don't like to do is try to keep stay home as long as I can. I'll go out, gotta go to church. Mm-hmm. Probably gotta get dinner at night because I can't cook. So those are the two times I'll leave the house on Sunday, whether I'm watching NFL or playing some video games with some buddies. And then Sunday night is usually when I watch my tape. That's when I move on, and it's time to watch our game from Saturday, see what we can improve on, and then I got right into Minnesota and watched a couple hours that night.
What's Minnesota? What sticks out about their defense to you?
They're a lot more confident than last year. Like you can tell, I mean, they're ranked now, so that's going to give them a lot more confidence. And I think confident teams are dangerous teams, and we'll have to be ready and locked in. And for us, we've got a theme going of just 1 week seasons. I mean, that's all we can do right now. Our dreams and hopes are resting on 1 week seasons. We've got to be good every single week. There's no excuse. There's no letdown. There's no let up. So they're a good team, though. They've got some good schemes. They're more aggressive than I remember them being. So we'll be ready for it, and we'll be tuned in.
How close, in your opinion, is this offense to clicking like folks saw towards the end of last year?
I think we're close. I really do. I think Husker Nation just hold in there with us. We're getting things worked out. We've got some, again, some more scheme things that we might not have had last year that are going to be really good for us. And we're getting our tempo tuned up again. So we're going to be good. I wouldn't say panic or anything at all yet. Everything's being adjusted and just according to plan. Coach Frost is a great plan, and he knows where we're going, and the team knows where we're going. So we're going to do a better job being even more detailed, even more focused with Minnesota because it matters more, so that we can keep this thing alive.
We'll let you get out of here shortly, and Noah Vedral, kind enough to sit down with us, Hail Varsity Radio. The support and your relationship with Adrian, it looks like, and I'm not in the room, but just from talking to you guys and Coach Mario, There's a lot of great teammates in that quarterback room. Touch on the relationship you and Adrian have, the support you have for one another.
No, Adrian's a really special quarterback. I don't want anyone to ever forget that. And anything I can do in the games, if you'll see us talking and walking off the field together, is just, again, he's a young guy. I'm trying to teach him everything that I've watched, that I've learned from Kenzie, from Coach Frost, from Coach Verdue, all the stuff, even from my uncles, my grandpa, all the tidbits and tips that I mean, he can take him or leave him. I'm not going to take anything personal. But I just always tell him, like, body language, stuff that Coach Verdu preaches. I'm usually – my headset goes to Verdu, so I'm usually telling him something Verdu said during the drive or something he wants Adrian to know. And he does the likewise for me. And then also just the thing of being, like, understanding, like, being like, hey, man, the game's not perfect. We can't expect perfection from a quarterback. I mean, if you watch a quarterback go 40 for 40, 500 yards and 7 touchdowns, I'd say that's a historic performance. So the game's not perfect. It's an open environment. Weird things are going to happen. People are going to take the wrong step, run the wrong route. Defense is going to have an amazing stunt that we didn't see. And just the idea of, like, hey, it's not going to go perfect. Your job is to get close. So I think that always helps calm him down and help him be kind of like, hey, it's okay. We're doing our job. Sometimes even when it gets tough. But he did the same for me. He was out of that tent, up on his feet. Every time I came off, he was in my ear telling me things he saw and the things that we were thinking about. So it's super, super supportive. And then obviously, Bunch is an insanely respectable dude. He does a great job, having played in a game last year, of now being really a support guy. But he's, even him, he's ready if we need him. He does a great job practicing, preparing every week.
If called upon to start, are you a guy that can block out the nerves, or do you have kind of a routine you go through to get you ready without having to make too big a deal out of it? It's just another game, but it'd be a cool moment.
It's really the part that always gets me is it's just a big practice. They're wearing different colors. There's more people there. So I think always, honestly, the spring game is always a good kind of just like halfway point between a big practice and a big game. There's a bunch of people, and that's the part that calms me down. I'll be able to block out the noise. I'm not worried about that, because as soon as you get on the field, the only thing that matters really for that time is between those white lines and the people that you're talking to in your line, your receivers, your running backs, and then the signals. That's all you got to think about. Once you get to that stuff, get to your defense, and we'll be ready to go, though. So I'm not too worried about the noise. I'll be ready.
Timeline, when you'll find out, if you find out?
I don't have one. They don't tell me that stuff. Coach Frost will know that. My job is to prepare like I am. Hopefully he can go, but if not, I'll be ready.
No, thanks for the time, man.
Yep, of course, no problem.